Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. Brought to you by Blue Sky Business Consulting, we discuss five questions in about 15 minutes.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to the Team Engagement Podcast. I'm very excited to welcome back a previous guest, and he was kind enough to join me again on the Team Engagement Podcast. This is Jay Agner. He is the founder and CEO of JDAQA out of Philadelphia. So I'm very excited. He's wearing his Phillies cap, and I'm going to put mine on here in just a couple of minutes when we get to that all-important question. But before we get to the important stuff, we'll do some other stuff. We'll talk about some business-related things, and then we'll get to the really important stuff that we call baseball, but we'll get there eventually. Well, Jay, thanks so much for joining me on the podcast. What would you like the audience to know about JDAQA?
Thanks, Sean. It's so nice to see you. A genuine friendship has blossomed out of a podcast, which I think is beautiful. So we're a software development testing agency. We work with custom software development or SaaS shops. Come in and we'll establish the best practices. We'll implement people if you need them. But really, it's your trusted partner for manual, automated performance and security testing. So basically everything you need to make sure your product is kind of bulletproof before it gets in your customer's hands. So that's what we do.
Yeah, very important because nobody likes to find bugs, especially big ones. So
no,
that's awesome. Glad we've got folks like you out there to help protect the software developers. So
thank you.
All right, Jay, well, let's jump to our questions. Question number one, how can business leaders know when to pivot in their business?
I think the time to pivot is when things aren't working for an extended period of time. And that's a very vague answer, but that amount of time depends on your tolerance as a business. How mired down in your problems are you? Is it just a targeting problem? Are you going after the wrong type of client? And, maybe they're not paying enough, or maybe they're just not a great fit, or whatever those things are. It's really, you just got to feel the pain of a pivot. And on the flip side, you don't want to pivot too much, right? I've seen a lot of companies that just change because the change is exciting. When you pivot, it's exciting. You're like, oh, I get to add this new thing to my website, or I get to change this and I can do that. And it's like, I've tried to be more about the action than the motion, if that makes any sense. And I think pivoting can a lot of the time just be about motion, right? You're just changing the way you're pointing, the way you're facing. I mean, literally the word pivot, right? I mean, you're changing the way you're pointing. So that doesn't mean anything's going to change if you don't execute properly. So I think, just when it hurts a lot, look for an opportunity to change what you're doing. But don't jump ship too soon because it does take time for things to happen sometimes.
Those are great comments. I really like that because you're right. It is a very emotional experience. There's a reason why they call it shiny object syndrome, where people are always attracted to the shininess of whatever it is, the newness of it. It's like the new cars, so bright, shiny. So yeah, I really like your take on that as far as it being an emotional experience and not to get caught up in that too much. And to make sure you execute the plan. You're absolutely right. You have to. It's great to have new ideas, but you got to be able to execute on the plan to help them come to fruition, or it does no good. So
yep.
Comments. All right. Question number two, if you would share with the audience, one of your company's core values and how that value helps you make decisions in the business.
So we have a few and I'll just run through them real fast. Communication, dependability, respect, leadership, and then growth. And so some of those are, business level. Some of them are employee level. Some of them are employee or, customer vendor relationship kind of stuff. I would say the biggest one for us just being QA is dependability, right? And I'll take that from the context of our QA engineers. If they're not dependable, if they're not reliable, if you can't trust them, count on them to be there. Same thing with any team member, right? I mean, it's a great example for QA because if you're just not there and you're not testing stuff, then it's going to get out in the world and their app's going to explode and the client's not going to work with you anymore. That's pretty straightforward. But same thing with executive team members on our team. Like if they're not dependable or reliable and we have initiatives depending on them, then it's just going to drag things out and it's going to make the entire process slow and clunky. And so just having team members that are very dependable is a really big deal for us and our clients as well. And it's just something where I've learned that doesn't change too much. If there's a problem with dependability or reliability early on with somebody, either somebody you work with or somebody that's a client of yours, if they're not dependable, they don't reply to your emails or they're not doing the things that they're going to do, it's not going to be a great relationship. So I think that's just been good for us to highlight at the beginning. And we tell people that when we go into an engagement, we're like, look, we're going to need these things from you. And if we can't get them from you in a reliable, kind of dependable fashion, then it's not going to work. So internally we kind of preach that. And then externally, obviously with clients, which we try to set those expectations as well.
You bring up a really good point, Jay, because sometimes companies, when they're talking about their core values, they're looking almost exclusively at internal. And what you did was a really nice job of demonstrating how it also should be external. It should be, okay, well, we value dependability. So Mr. or Mrs. Client, this is what we expect of you. And this is where you can help with the dependability, because that's one of our core values. So I really like how you extend that to the client and help them understand the importance of dependability and what their role as that is in setting the expectations. I love that. It was a great answer.
Thank you.
All right. Question number three, what's one strategy or tip that you have to find and then hire talent?
Don't hire yourself is the first one. I think a lot of people make that mistake. I think they're like, oh, well, I do everything. So if I find somebody that's like me, then it's going to just be me offloading stuff. But you need somebody that's not going to be, in the same mindset that you are, because they'd be less likely to push back, right? Like you want somebody to push back. You want somebody to tell you you're wrong or that they got a better idea or whatever. I mean, obviously you want team players that can exist, but you don't need yes people around you. You don't want people that are your employees that are like that. You don't want people in the executive team that are helping advise company stuff like that. It doesn't help anybody. So, looking for people with specific, complementary skill sets is huge for us. You need a specific set for QA engineers to do specific things, but I'm thinking more from a internal kind of team perspective. If you have some really strong people in different areas, with different personality traits, hire somebody different, right? Hire somebody that fits the culture, that kind of understands what you guys are going for. And we do that through a bunch of means. We do it through our kind of internal network that we've built over the years of just having a bunch of people in the space. Then they know people, and then they know people, and they know people, and you kind of build this giant network of really great, QA engineers or virtual assistants or, operations people, whatever they are, because quite honestly, you'll find they have friends that do the same stuff, right? Like you hang out with people that kind of, people that do the same stuff that you do. And it's a good way to build a network that way. And then, the normal avenues of Upwork and, LinkedIn and Indeed and all the kind of normal sites. But I think having a clear criteria of exactly who it is you want to hire, what you want them to do when they get here, because a lot of people will hire somebody that's close and has like a wider skill set, and it doesn't really work out, and everybody gets frustrated because the person's a little more of a generalist than you need, right? And I see that a lot. Like people hire somebody that's, let's say for sales, I'm using a recent example I was just telling you about. If you're looking to hire a salesperson, but the person you're interviewing is a sales and marketing person, you're not going to get a salesperson. You're going to get a sales and marketing person, right? Like you're not going to get a guy that's like dying to make phone calls and dying to hit numbers and do all these sorts of things. You're going to get a guy that's going to go, yeah, we can do some outbound sales and cold email, but we're also going to do SEO and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. It's like, I don't need that. I'm hiring a salesperson. I want to hire a salesperson. So I think just really keen in on what skill set you need them to have. Don't try to hire yourself if you're a solopreneur. If you're hiring your first person, hire somebody that's different than you with different skills. And then just kind of build that network, and it organically will, pay dividends as you build that out and you hire good people. And hire good people, right? I mean, if you try to hire big bargain bin prices, you're going to get bargain bin people. So hire good people, pay them well, treat them well, and, they'll refer you just like a client will.
Oh, so many great things you said in that, Jay, because, we could rehash all of it, but for the sake of time, I'll just simply point out a couple of things that I really like. One, you mentioned it very quickly about the importance of making sure that they have the skill set, but that they also fit within the culture of the company. And that is such a key element. And of course, I like your comments about finding complementary people that don't necessarily think like you. They fit the culture, but they think a little bit differently. They approach a problem or an opportunity differently than you would. And that just that includes so much more. I really like those comments. So for all of the listeners and viewers out there, make sure you go back and listen to his response on this particular question, because he packed a lot into just a few minutes. All right, question number four. What's one strategy or idea that you have within your company to identify and then develop strengths within the company?
I think it's really, you stand it on its head and you have to look at what you're weak at. I mean, we do that all the time. Like, we see that we're, not, let's say we're communicating internally with a team we're working with, but we're just banging our heads and we're not being able to get any progress. We'll say, well, why is that? Why are we weak in that area? Why are we not able to make progress? And then we realize, well, it's really communication at a higher level, right? It's executive to executive, the people who hire the people to be there. Those are the ones. So we kind of try to look for any places that hurt, that are recurring painful issues. Operations was one of those for us for years. Mm-hmm. And how do you go from somebody being a lead to being a happy customer? And there's a lot of stuff in between there. And, certain parts you'll be good at, certain parts your team will be good at, but then you cobble it all together and you go, all right, here's where it is from soup to nuts. Which part sucks the worst? Which one hurts, the worst? Which one are we getting complaints from our customers on? Is it the quality of our people? Is it the amount of hours they're billing? Is it the technology that we brought in? Is it the people, what is it? Is it the attitude? Like, there's a lot of different things that you can kind of key on, and just have to listen to your clients, especially, because those are the ones paying the bills, but also your internal team, right? Like, you have to spend the time understanding the issues that, I'm hopping on a call after this with a client to talk through some issues that we've had. And I had to really dig in with our team and go, what I saw the emails, heard the complaints. What is driving this? What is really, like, what are they pissed about? What are they upset about? And it was something that we aren't doing right. And so we go, okay, well, we'll fix that now, but also going forward, we're going to make sure we do X, Y, Z every time we onboard a client, every time we work with a client, this is going to be our process. And as long as you kind of learn from it, you roll it into the process that you're doing, it becomes a strength eventually, because you're constantly iterating on those things until it becomes not a problem anymore. And you're crushing it in an area you used to, be struggling in. So it's kind of just it's an identification of what hurts, and just applying strategies to try to iteratively improve that.
I love that. Yeah. Finding those pain points and finding the solutions. I like that. That's great. All right. Here we go. Question number five.
So get there it is.
Now we're really in harmony.
Now we're in it. Hardcore but, Philly fans.
Right. Okay. Share with me a favorite baseball memory, Jay.
There's so many. Either my first home run as a, 10 or 11 year old, when you move up to the middle school field or whatever, and you hit one over the fence. I mean, just you'll never forget running around I mean, I remember my coach telling me, slow down, enjoy it. don't sprint around the bases. Right. And then I think, the dad answer, as coaching my couple sons in baseball was just, watching a bunch of kids, get slightly better at something over, a season is a very rewarding thing. And, they go from all piling around the ball every time it's hit to like actually staying in their positions and throwing the ball around and stuff. So I think just, coaching, and I even coached when I was in high school, I coached a couple of T-ball teams. I just love like that age and like watching them grow and like that sort of thing. So I think coaching would probably be my biggest memory. What about you? What's your favorite one?
Oh, wow. It was funny because you talked about the home run there that you hit. I never did hit a home run when I played, but I came really close once. And when I got, I flew out to center. And when I got back to the dugout, it was a little league coach. And he just said, Sean, if you had swung all the way through the ball, because I had a weird tendency of stopping halfway. And he said, all the way through it, he had a home run. And so we talk about that. I was like, yeah, I missed out on that opportunity there. So, I was never a big power hitter.
Okay.
But I was pretty good at, I had some speed back then when I was younger. And so I could leg out some infield singles once in a while. But for me, especially this time of year, I look out the window and I see sun and it's spring. And it always makes me a little bit baseball hungry, get that baseball fever going. So here we are at the beginning of the official baseball season. And it's full on right now.
For me. Oh, yeah. It's game time.
Oh, yeah. And, when I played in high school, it was February. We'd be starting to practice and it'd be cold and snowing out the time. But this time of year for me, it's just springtime is a lot of fun. It's heavy on baseball for me.
So I love it.
A lot of combined memories there.
I love it.
That's awesome. Well, Jay, thank you as always. I really enjoy our conversations, and the audience doesn't know this, but you and I have talked a few times off camera as well, and I always enjoy our conversations. And thank you for taking time to share your insights regarding business and leadership. How can the audience get a hold of you and find you?
LinkedIn is the best way. Jay Agner, JayAigner. You can check out our website, jdaqa.com as well. And book a time if you want to chat about anything.
That sounds great. Awesome. Well, thank you again, Jay. And thanks to everybody who frequently and regularly, consistently checks in with the Team Engagement Podcast. We appreciate your support. And we wish you a great day and business success as well as success in life. Have a great day.
This is Sean Richards with the Team Engagement Podcast, where leaders of teams share their insights. For more ideas, go to teamengagementpodcast.com. We also invite you to follow or subscribe to our podcast wherever you may be listening or watching. Is your business thriving? Go to tbs-score.com to find out. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great day.